Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, one of the things I really enjoy is a lot of you have kind of reached out to me after last year's signing class, where we had a lot of fun the day that George Pickens, the five-star wide receiver, kind of maybe somewhat surprisingly chose Georgia over the school that he had been committed to, Auburn. We, at the time, had the sense that Georgia really needed that impact freshman receiver. We thought Pickens could be that guy, and I think this season we were, for the most part, proven right on that as Pickens became one of the top freshman receivers, I think, in the country, certainly in the SEC. And, you know, after that went down last year, there was a lot of talk of, well, B.A., who's going to be the version of that this year? You know, what's going to be that thing that kind of gets everybody laughing, or, as some of you like to make fun of me for, the chortle that I'll give every now and then with Jeff Sintel when he provides some really good recruiting news? And I think for the most part, Georgia had a day yesterday where there was definitely some of that to be enjoyed. I thought that Georgia had a really good day, and I thought those kind of wow moments in particular kind of came from one position group in particular. It was the wide receivers, and when Kirby kind of gave an overarching view of how it all went down yesterday and his feeling on that, the receiver position is one of the things that he kind of mentioned by name. Before I give you my thoughts on yesterday, let me let you hear from the guy you care about most. Here's Georgia coach Kirby Smart.
We were able to address a lot of our needs today. I really feel like, you know, when you talk about wide receiver and you talk about offensive line, what we've got leaving and what we need on our roster, able to attack some of those areas and still have work left to be done, hopefully in both those areas. But we got a really good, strong group. We got some really strong academic kids, which matters a lot to me at this university, and some great competitors. A couple guys, I think four guys played for state championships, two guys won state championships. I'm really excited about this class. Not completely done yet, but obviously a lot of the pieces are in place.
So listen, Kirby has a way of talking where he says, hey, we addressed a lot of our needs today. He almost makes it sound like you're eating vegetables, right? You're sort of doing the thing you have to do. You're buying a new washing machine or something like that. He has a way of making sometimes the whole process sound not all that exciting, because the truth is the average Georgia fan wants to do more than just address needs. You know, they want to eat dessert, right? They want something exciting, something kind of razzle-dazzle. And I think that Georgia was able to do a couple of those things yesterday. You know, Georgia already had Justin Robinson and Marcus Roseby in the mix, four-star receivers, and Georgia added two more of those yesterday. And so if you're looking for those kind of like wow moments, those moments of, hey, who's Georgia going to go out and get that we don't necessarily know? Georgia beating Alabama for Arian Smith and then Georgia flipping Jermaine Burton, I think, are two examples of that. Let me show you a couple things on social media here. Georgia's celebration of bringing in Smith, kind of putting out the cool edit there on that. Always like to see that. Georgia did a good job yesterday on sort of producing these. It was fun to watch it on TV yesterday with those two hats right there on the table, Bama and Georgia, and seeing Smith put on that Georgia hat. It was really cool at the end of all of that when he kind of mentioned Mecole Hardman by name in terms of the legacy he wants to have at Georgia as a kick returner, as a punt returner, as a receiver. A lot of the things that have made Mecole Hardman a Pro Bowler this year for the Kansas City Chiefs. Arian Smith says, that's what I want my college career to look like there too. So cool to see the Hardman legacy paying off. Cool to see a guy like Arian Smith potentially being able to come in and do for Georgia what was really kind of missing in 2019 without Mecole Hardman on this team. Smith's a world-class speed guy. He's a track type of guy, and he'll, you know, run track at Georgia, but also be able to bring some of that track speed to the football team. So the Arian Smith thing was kind of one of those fun fireworks. Even if we had been anticipating the likelihood, the possibility that Smith might come to Georgia, it doesn't make the announcement any less exciting when Arian Smith does truly commit to the G and then sign on the dotted line with his letter of intent. Same thing goes for Jermaine Burton as well. Burton yesterday afternoon from a school ceremony there in Calabasas, California, the town that he has lived in most recently, he put that Georgia hat on, celebrating his announcement that he was coming to Georgia. This is a guy that we've talked to Terrence Edwards about in the past. Terrence, obviously a great wide receiver coach, a great former Georgia receiver, and a guy that's really kind of poured into the life of Jermaine Burton, really tried to make a big impact on him. And I know that Edwards was thrilled yesterday to have a couple of the guys that he's trained. In fact, he tweeted about this. Justin Robinson and Jermaine Burton joined the Georgia class. And I think that Georgia fans, if you're looking for that kind of wow moment, that moment of, yeah, Georgia got something it wasn't quite expecting, not eating vegetables, not doing what has to be done, but going out and making signing day fun, Well, I think a guy like Jermaine Burton doing what he did yesterday, flipping him from LSU, I think it makes it fun. And this was a guy that LSU desperately tried to hold on to. They lost a receiver yesterday they thought they were getting, which made the Burton recruitment for them all the more important. And yet Georgia still found a way to win that. And I think overall, that's a really good piece of news and really fun. It's a busy day, and sometimes the news happens so fast that you don't get to appreciate it all of it as much as you want to, because you're already kind of moving on to the next thing. But you better believe I was giving you that fist pump. I was giving you that that big smile when the Burton news came in. That was a good thing for George all the way around. Now, more from Kirby, it's worth pointing out that when he was asked this question about those receivers, the two that he knew he was getting, Robinson and Roseme, the paperwork for Jermaine Burton hadn't quite yet been filed yet. The letter of intent hadn't quite been received. So the way it works is, until that letter comes in, you can't talk about that guy. So Kirby knew he wasn't ready yet to talk about Burton. Now, letter of intent signed, sealed, and delivered about an hour or so later. So all was good and taken care of on that. But he can't mention Burton by name, so you'll sort of see him tiptoe to the line of alluding to Jermaine Burton without mentioning him. But he talks about what Arian Smith brought to the table. He talks about the two guys that he knew he was getting. For a team that needs help at the wide receiver position, the 2020 class certainly seems to be providing that. Here is more from Kirby Smart.
Really excited about those guys. I mean, we've been excited about Justin for a long time. Marcus, too. They both came to our camp over the summer and were as competitive of kids as you've seen out there in one-on-ones. And both of them had good senior years. I mean, both of them won state championships. Arian's a kid who's got a lot of speed. It's pretty obvious that he can run fast. He wants to be able to run track here, which we've been very open to, and had success with Mecole doing that. So that was a big selling point for him. And we had a lot of other kids join us today that we think are going to help us.
So at the end there, that's probably a little bit of an allusion to Jermaine Burton. Could not mention him by name. Let me shift gears and talk about a couple guys that Georgia did not get, at least not yet. You heard Kirby a moment ago say, hey, we've still got some work to do. We've still got the February process here, and obviously some January announcements. And that's where we're expected to hear some news on. Let me start with five-star cornerback Kelee Ringo, who did kind of put a winking, nodding tweet out yesterday, alluding to the fact that he signed somewhere, although he's not going to announce that until early January. He says it's great to be a, and he asked to kind of fill in the blank on that. So we're left to wonder about Ringo for a moment until he makes his announcement. I know one of the things that got some attention on social media yesterday was the fact that Ringo gave an interview to some reporters there at a school in Arizona, and he happened to be wearing Oregon gear in doing so. And here's one of the things that I firmly believe, and y'all can believe what you want to believe, but this is my firm belief. And nobody likes looking for clues about where a recruit might be going than me. I'm right there with many of y'all in terms of trying to play the hack science game before an announcement goes down, or any kind of circumstantial evidence of who's following who on Twitter and who's saying what on Instagram and whatever, whatever, whatever. I love all the clues, but I'm a firm believer that the least reliable clue of all is the gear that a recruit wears. I've just seen gear be a misleading gesture far too often to count in terms of so-and-so decked out in UGA gear only to eventually sign and commit somewhere else or whatever else. So I'm not trying to downplay this. You can decide for yourself what you think it means that Ringo, and it's easy to find on social media, you can go out and see it for yourself, that Ringo spoke to some reporters yesterday in Arizona wearing an Oregon shirt. I am of the firm belief that gear is pretty misleading in terms of the ultimate prediction about where a player goes, but that's at least out there. That's what our Ringo was doing yesterday. If I had to guess, when he makes his announcement, the announcement he's going to make is that the letter of intent he signed on that Wednesday to begin the early signing period is one that will deliver him to the Georgia Bulldogs and become a big part of that UGA secondary. And I reckon I kind of feel the same way about Darnell Washington, too. Washington also yesterday had a pretty similar tweet to Ringo in that he seemed to, on Twitter, gesture in the direction of having also signed a letter of intent. Now, I think that Ringo is a little easier to predict than Washington is, because Washington's tweet, if you take that to mean he signed with somebody yesterday, is a little bit of a contradiction to some of the things that Washington himself said he was going to do, which was initially not sign on Wednesday and maybe not even sign anywhere during the early signing period. And, you know, on the fence maybe about whether he's even going to announce his choice in January. So Washington's a little bit difficult to predict. I still believe that he's probably far more likely than not Georgia bound. If I had to make my prediction sure to be wrong. That's the prediction that I would probably make. And if he indeed did sign a letter of intent on Wednesday, given the fact that I view Georgia as the favorite here, the fact that he signed somewhere, I think circumstantially you take that to be a good news for UGA. But one way or another, now that the early signing period day one is in the books, you kind of turn your attention to what is next. Ringo, whose announcement slated to come in early January. Washington, whose announcement is slated to come in early January. When Kirby Smart alludes to unfinished business, you better believe that those two names, along with Broderick Jones probably as well, are the biggest pieces of unfinished business for UGA. Fingers crossed that the Dogs get good news there. And in a class that already ranks amongst the nation's elite, I think number four right now in the 24/7 Sports Composite Team Ranking, it could be even higher before it's all said and done. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. No radio for us today on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep. We'll be looking forward to being back on the air in the Classic City, I think, again, Friday, up into today because of a basketball game, I think, a Lady Dogs basketball game, maybe. So no radio show for us on 960 The Rep today, but looking forward to being back there tomorrow. Of course, podcasts wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us here today. We've got more Kirby Smart coming up on his thoughts on day one of the early signing period. We'll talk to Mike Griffith here as well about the preparations ongoing for Georgia with the Sugar Bowl. Before that, though, let me tell you about a cool thing, and I want to make sure you take advantage of this while you still have time because we are running out of time on this. I've been telling you that our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort are celebrating their 25th anniversary, and as a way of celebrating that with you, offering you the chance at 25% off your room rates select dates here in the month of December. Well, I'll tell you this, December is fast getting away. So make sure you go to this website, BrasstownValley.com, and when you get there, use the promo code BVR25. You can get big savings right now on select dates, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. It is beautiful this time of year. Christmas decorations, fires in the fireplaces. I had a fireplace in my room the last time I stayed there. This is like the perfect ultimate winter getaway. And the promo code BVR25 makes it really easy to take advantage of 25% off on select dates here this month. So check out BrasstownValley.com for more information on that. Time now for us to go around the doghouse, presented today by Online Trading Academy. And I want to give you more from Kirby Smart, as I said, on the subject of a couple of the big names that joined Georgia's class yesterday, sort of that non-surprising variety, guys that have been in the fold and in the mix for quite some time. Let me start with the truly I think of as an elite running back, Kendall Milton. And when Smart talked about Milton, one of the things that sort of made Georgia interesting for him and compelling and desirous for him. I thought that Smart had some pretty interesting things to say about that, especially given the light of the news the last couple of days. And Smart goes on here to kind of compliment Milton in a specific way for a way in which he's probably already been valuable to Georgia. I really like Kendall Milton, obviously, as a player, and I liked what Smart said about Milton yesterday. Here he is explaining why he chose Georgia and kind of what Georgia also likes about Milton. Here's Kirby on the next great Georgia running back.
Kendall was attracted to the fact that he knew he had potential of two guys leaving. With Harrion being a graduate, being a senior, and then with the likelihood of Swift possibly coming out, I mean, he's sitting there going, you know what? There's an opportunity there. And I think any time when you look at it as a running back and you say they could be losing two guys, very similar to years past when we had Sony and Nick, you're always exploring those options. And we certainly thought that Kendall comes from a really strong family. Dale formed a great relationship with their family, and they came and visited all the schools across the Southeast and really liked what Georgia had to offer. So I'm super pleased to get him. He was one of our leaders in the class. And I'm excited about what he's going to bring to the table.
I think one of the things that Georgia fans have grown to appreciate is the idea of a class leader. You know, Richard LeCount kind of occupied that space in 2017. Jake Fromm probably did as well. There were versions of that in the 2018 class, the 2019 class. You know, Milton, along with a guy like Mekhi Sherman as well, are probably those class leaders here for this 2020 class, too. You need those Pied Piper guys, especially now that Georgia recruits as nationally as it does. You got to have somebody with a big enough personality to help all these guys connect over social media and in text chains and these things that make it possible for these guys to stay connected when they don't live next door to each other. That's just the nature of modern recruiting, especially in Georgia, where it's a lot more national than it used to be. You need a guy like Kendall Milton bringing that to the table. The other thing is, and this is probably more of a curiosity than anything important, But, you know, DeAndre Swift kind of went out of his way earlier this week to say he has not made up his mind on the NFL draft and will not do so until after the Sugar Bowl. The fact that Kirby is openly speaking about the possibility that Swift might leave for the NFL. Now, ultimately, that's what I believe is going to happen. I do believe Swift is going to leave for the NFL. But it's interesting that Swift himself is not ready to say that one way or another, whereas Kirby Smart sort of openly acknowledging that the thought of that is one of the things that potentially drew Kendall Milton here to UGA. Just kind of an interesting sort of difference in the way that's being discussed right now. How about another big name, a guy that has already said that he's in Athens now, Carson Beck. He's done with high school. He tweeted yesterday that he's now in the Classic City, and Kirby Smart talked about the value of Beck and how Georgia grew to understand Beck as the kind of quarterback that could potentially get it done at the high level of the SEC. Here is Smart on Carson Beck.
I'm excited as I can be. This guy's come to camp since maybe his ninth grade year to our place, has grown up and gotten better with each and every year. He came this summer, hung out with our guys. Can't say enough about Carson, his family, the competitive nature that's inside him. He's been a winner. He won a state championship last year, you know, at Mandarin, which is probably never been done before, I think, at their school. So he led those guys to that and did a great job.
I think that Beck is in kind of an interesting situation in that he shows up at Georgia, and I'm presuming not really completely sure of what he's about to experience. You know, maybe he knows about Jake Fromm's future, maybe he doesn't. I probably take it to believe that Fromm's still deliberating on that process himself. So Beck's got either one of two scenarios. He's either got the chance to kind of apprentice underneath Jake Fromm and hopefully make a name for himself in that role for a year and then maybe take over the Georgia quarterback job in 2021 after having a year on campus. Or the opposite scenario is Fromm leaves, goes to the NFL, and all of a sudden Beck and a few other names probably are now in the midst of an intense competition to see who the starting quarterback for Georgia can be in 2020. We've seen freshmen do that around the country. Obviously, if thrust into that role, I'm sure that's one that Beck would try to thrive in. So, you know, he has certainly made a name for himself on the high school level, and now at the college level, he's got to quickly kind of earn those leadership chops and earn that trust of the guys that he's working with. And getting a chance to go through some of these practices, which I believe is his intent as Georgia gets ready for the Sugar Bowl, I think that's it's an invaluable opportunity and one that I'm sure he's going to be working to make the most of. So interesting to hear Kirby talking about both Milton and Beck yesterday. It's Around the Doghouse. It's presented by Online Trading Academy. And this time of year, we are all mindful of how it's good to have a little money in your pocket to buy the gifts you want to buy, to treat people to the holiday dinners you want to treat them to, and just sort of generally enjoy this time of year. A little more money in your pocket makes it a lot easier to do. And obviously, one way or another, we know the markets is how you get that money, but sometimes it can be difficult to know what you invest in. Well, Online Trading Academy says this: the first step is making the decision to invest in yourself. That means learning how the markets work, both in the classroom and online. That's what Online Trading Academy can provide. Across a variety of trading styles, a spectrum of asset classes, they can truly teach you how to make money off the markets no matter which direction the markets might be moving. So please check out this website. It's tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. Trading with a D, tradingacademy.com/Atlanta. That'll get you in touch with Online Trading Academy. We've got more recruiting stuff to talk about on today's show, including how a couple of stories from around the SEC also potentially impact Georgia. So that's all on the way here on Dog Nation Daily, but the Dogs also have a game to get ready for coming up pretty soon, too. For more on that, let's talk to Mike Griffith about the Sugar Bowl.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Yeah, so a lot going on kind of both out in the forefront and behind the scenes for Georgia as he gets ready for the Sugar Bowl on January 1st against the Baylor Bears. And the guy who's kind of in the middle of all of that is our buddy Mike Griffith here from DogNation.com joining us. And Mike, first of all, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holiday season. Hope you're enjoying yourself. We appreciate you spending some time with us here today and hope you're doing well.
Appreciate it, B.A.
So let me start with this, if you don't mind. Reports, I believe it was Dogs 247, that has this first, that Ben Cleveland likely academically ineligible to play in the Sugar Bowl. Kirby Smart did not want to confirm that as of yesterday. What do you make of this? The fact that, you know, no reason to disbelieve the notion that Cleveland, because of some classwork stuff, won't be available to the Dogs in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's disappointing. And Ben Cleveland's dad was the one that confirmed it. So I'm not really sure. You know, Kirby, as I said, he was just kind of in defense mode. And you think about the last couple of weeks for Kirby Smart and how many airplanes was he on and how many recruits did he talk to and all the things swirling around him. For a coach that doesn't delegate, that has to be exhausting physically, mentally, and spiritually, as Kirby bleeds red and black, as we know. So I just feel like Kirby was really on his game yesterday. Just kind of wanted to put a cloak over everything, kind of wants to pull the garage door down and fix the vehicle in peace, not letting any players talk, you know, being very vague with his answers on things. I mean, let's face it, nobody likes the way that Georgia looked the last time they were on a football field. And it's Kirby Smart's job to make sure that it's a different version of Georgia that shows up on December 27th in New Orleans. And I think that's really where his mind and his focus is at right now, B.A.
So let me, I guess, try to spin that forward with that in mind. Is the Cleveland news solely isolated a story about him, or is this somehow potentially a piece of evidence that suggests, hey, maybe Georgia doesn't have its game face on, you know, going into the Sugar Bowl, even though seemingly that's kind of what it wants to do after also not playing pretty well, not playing very well in this spot a year ago? Do we extrapolate the Cleveland story, or do we say that this is an incident solely isolated to him and it's not necessarily representative of the team at large?
Yeah, I would say it's isolated to him. You know, I remember back about 5 years ago, I was talking to a guy by the name of Jim Bowman that was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. And I asked Bowman about, man, the Buckeyes, they just can't win the, you know, the bowl games. And what is it? He said the bowl games are kind of like their own season. You know, everybody wants to, you know, attach the bowl to the end of the year, and it's really not. You know, the regular season's over, and what you get in a bowl game is unlike what you get in the regular season or the start of the next season, because there's all sorts of things going on. There's coaches coming and going. There's players coming and going. The staff loses contact and direct supervision with these guys, and it's just kind of its own season. And so this was really curious to me because Ben Cleveland didn't strike me as the kind of guy, you know, that wouldn't take care of things in the classroom, but it just goes to show you that it can happen to anyone. These athletes, student-athletes, live very busy lives. It's very difficult for them to balance their time. They don't get much free time at all. And, you know, the University of Georgia is a serious place about its academics. I mean, you got to show up in class. It's not like, you know, in North Carolina a few years ago, they found out guys didn't even have to go to class, right? So it tells you a lot of things. I don't think it's an indictment on the program. I think it's to answer your question, I think it's one of those things you evaluate on an isolated basis, just like you do when a kid runs into trouble.
Should we take this to mean that Cleveland's career at Georgia's probably done, or can you come back from this?
No. In fact, the report is he's coming back, and good for Ben. And you know, I even thought this, BA, you know, as we all try and read Jake Fromm's mind, I think this means this is good for those that want Jake Fromm back, which should be everybody if you want to go back to the SEC championship game next year. Because Ben and Jake are good friends. And, you know, Jake is a guy you need back, a guy that can operate the offense, that can bring in these new receivers and help educate them on how things should work. You know, that's what Jake does so well. I mean, he has such a great command of the offense. Now can you get players that not only understand the offense but are capable of beating people one-on-one? Based on this recruiting haul, I would say so. And Kirby made it clear that he's not done yet.
Yeah. So the Cleveland story for the Sugar Bowl, anyway, kind of also dovetails into the news from Andrew Thomas and Isaiah Wilson earlier in the week that they are declaring for the NFL draft. They won't be playing in the Sugar Bowl. And, you know, obviously this is one of those things, Mike, where, you know, on the one hand, I want to celebrate the career of Thomas. He was obviously, you know, one of the top players in the country regardless of position this year. Isaiah Wilson had a very good year, too. Our buddy John Stinchcomb has raved about the work that Wilson did at right tackle for Georgia this season. Both those guys deserve to move on to the NFL, and I think UGA fans will wish them well as they do that. And yet, simultaneous to that, there's also now the need to figure out, well, gosh, what does Georgia's offensive line look like for the Sugar Bowl? And maybe more importantly, who is Georgia's starting tackles next season? So more than one thing can be true at once. It's the very successful end to careers for both Thomas and Wilson. That's good news for them. But that leaves to some pretty big questions for Georgia, does it not?
Yeah, fortunately, Georgia's recruited really well there. You know, for this game, you think Cade Mays probably goes out there to left tackle, and Jamari Saiu, you plug in him and him at right guard and right tackle. Maybe Xavier Truss is ready. You know, he's a guy that was working really hard, behind Andrew this year that Andrew talked really glowingly about the last time I spoke with him. So, Clay Webb. And there's names we could go down the list. Warren McClendon. I mean, they've got so many guys and Owen Cunningham that they've recruited that continue to get better. This signing class is loaded with more talent. You've got Matt Luke in there now. A younger, more accomplished version than Sam Pittman. Bringing that head coach into the offensive meeting room, bringing that former coordinator, bringing those ideas from David Cutcliffe and Rich Rodriguez and Hugh Freeze and some of the better offensive minds. I mean, this is just such a boost, such a shot of vitamin C during the flu season for Georgia football, for a young, strong coach and recruiter like Matt Luke to come on board and the impact that he's going to have with this offensive line. It's really, like you said, B.A., I think the way Georgia fans should look at it is Georgia falling forward. You say, oh, my gosh, one day, last week I was out of the office, and one day I see the report, Sam Pittman's gone. I'm going, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. And then within 48 hours, Matt Luke is hired and the sun is coming up. And I'm going, wow, Kirby and Georgia have done it again. So I'm like you. I'm excited to see what shows up in New Orleans. I want to see these dogs with a chip on their shoulder again.
I want to talk to you more about that topic in just a moment. Before that, let me remind you that we have just a couple opportunities left for you to get a chance to meet the legendary coach and athletic director from Georgia, Vince Dooley. The field at Sanford Stadium now named in his honor, and you can get a chance to speak to him about his great career at Georgia and get a chance to have one of the books that he's written signed just for you. Just two more opportunities for this. It's today at the Kroger on Bethelview Road in Cumming. That's obviously from 5 to 6 p.m., and then it's tomorrow right there at the Kroger in Woodstock. Your final chances to get a chance to speak to Coach Dooley today, 5 to 6 Bethelview Road in Cumming. That's the 5550 Bethelview Road in Cumming. And then tomorrow, also from 5 to 6 p.m., 2295 Town Lake Parkway in Woodstock. These are the final Coach Dooley book signings. You can find out more about that, of course, at dognation.com. But make plans to be there. Today, Cumming, tomorrow, Woodstock, both events 5 to 6 p.m. A chance to speak to the legendary coach and athletic director himself, Vince Dooley. He'll sign one of his books. And that's just a really, really great thing to do this holiday season, especially if that person on your list that's tough to buy for. We all have those kinds of guys and gals. A book from Coach Dooley is certainly a great example of how you can make everybody happy. All right, Mike, let me get back into the discussion on the Sugar Bowl here. And you talked before about, kind of being excited to see which version of Georgia shows up. And I guess I am. I'm really, really curious about that to see if Georgia does have, I think you used the phrase earlier, chip on its shoulder based on the SEC championship game, or just based on the fact that Georgia did not equate itself very well in New Orleans last year. For the most part, Mike, when Georgia played badly against Texas, I didn't make that big of a deal of it because, for the most part, I didn't see, potential critics of the program making too big of a deal of it. National media, for the most part, gave Georgia a free pass on that. Former players, we brought them on the show, and they kind of said that, hey, sometimes those bowl games, for the good and for the bad, can be a little bit of false misnomers about what the future season is going to look like. But for Georgia this year to be back in the same spot, maybe there is a little bit more of a need to just kind of make a better showing in New Orleans than a year before. Georgia fans, a lot of them anyway, weren't all that happy by the way that things went down last year. So you're not getting to see practice right now, so you have to make your best guess on this. But how focused do you think that Georgia is? Does Georgia want to play better against Baylor than it played against Texas last season?
Well, I think it's a complex question. I'll blow it down to a couple of things there, B.A. First of all, when you reach the level that Georgia football has now reached, where a number five ranking in an 11-2 season is viewed as a disappointment, and you're an annual college football championship contender, there's a certain brand that people expect. And if you want to maintain that status as an annual national championship contender in the eyes of fans, in the eyes of national media, and most importantly, in the eyes of recruits, you better show up. You better show up and you better represent the G if you want to be that brand, if you want to be a national championship contender. Now, if you want to slide back into what Georgia was before the Kirby Smart run we've seen with three straight SEC East Division championships and what should have been an, if you want to slide back to that second tier, then okay, you can shrug off a bowl performance. But when you're of the ilk that Georgia has reached, I mean, look, let's face it, when Alabama played bad in a bowl game, oh my gosh, look at that. It was like, holy cow, man bites dog, because that just wasn't supposed to happen when Utah beat Alabama. right? Because Alabama built the brand, and now Georgia is there. So they have to play well if they want to maintain their status. You can't use the excuse that it doesn't. It matters every time that you take the field for the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, two, are they ready? I think there were a lot of guys ready last year. The problem was, and Kirby identified this, and I give Kirby credit because he's transparent. He made a mistake. He brought guys last year that were not engaged. And you can say whether it's two guys that had already announced they were going to transfer, should they have been there, or whether it was bringing DeAndre Baker, who was not going to play in the game, but he was just going to hang around. I don't think that's good. And I think Kirby identified that. And he said earlier this bowl season, he said, I'm not bringing players that aren't engaged. And he found out that some guys were more excited to be there than others. So, you know, that's why the DeAndre Swift announcement about not deciding, does that mean DeAndre's going to play? Well, he didn't really come out and say that. Is he engaged? I don't know. If it's the DeAndre Swift we saw, you know, had five touches and didn't want to get hit because of the sore shoulder, don't bring that guy because he doesn't need to be there. If he's got a risk of injury, don't bring him. Give the ball to the young, hungry Lions that are going to go 110 miles an hour into the line, not the ones that are thinking about their NFL futures on every carry. But if DeAndre is healthy, my goodness, it's another huge shot of energy and excitement. So I need to see whether Swift is there and healthy, B.A. I think that's key. But the fact that Kirby has taken this stand, I think it means a lot. And I think you're going to see a more engaged team. The problem is, you're facing a Baylor team with a lot to play for. They're trying to become the all-time winningest program in their school's history. And those fans are excited about the Sugar Bowl. Georgia fans may not be, but you better believe that Baylor is going to have an excited contingent there, and that's going to be a big news story in Texas.
Also, the Bears have a very, very stout defense. Let me finish on one topic here, and I'm going to make some to you, Mike. I find this entire thing to be exhausting because it all depends on what your definition of certain words are. Reports based out of, you know, Columbia, South Carolina, Georgia spoke to Mike Bobo before South Carolina hired him. Kirby Smart saying yesterday, I didn't. I talked to him, but I didn't talk. I didn't talk to him about a job. Here's the thing, Mike. I don't believe either side on this because it all comes down. It all comes down to what your definition of talk to is. It's sort of like the old Bill Clinton thing about what your definition of is. You know. How do you define talk about a job? How do you define those kinds of overtures? I don't believe either side on this because they both got ulterior motives to kind of paint it one way or the other. So, you know, Kirby spoke about this. It's a big, obviously, topic because a lot of fans are curious if there are offensive coaching overhauls coming. I don't think it can be easy to determine that one way or another. I don't think anyone's getting fired necessarily, but certainly in terms of changes, I guess I'm as curious as anybody else is about that. But when, you know, Kirby describes his scenario involving Bobo, I'm not sure I believe that, but I don't necessarily believe other reports that he was outright offered a job at Georgia either. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just like the Eddie Grant thing last year. You know, Eddie Grant goes back to Kentucky and tells him that Kirby wants to hire him to be an offensive coordinator after our offense was, what, 101st in the country last year? And there may have been, and then the truth of the matter is that Kirby did talk to him, but not about the coordinator position. You know, maybe it was a co-coordinator position, but not the way Eddie presents it. And you're right. Agents leak this thing out to different national media members, and one person writes it, and that becomes a perception. Oh, look at this. Georgia tried to hire so-and-so. Listen, if Georgia really wanted to hire Mike Bobo, they could have. All right? Kirby's got unlimited funds. If they want the guy bad enough, they could pay him $1.5 million. If they really wanted to, just like Jim Chaney, if they really, really wanted to keep Jim Chaney, they could. There's enough money to buy those people. And Georgia has the money. But Kirby's not going to just throw stupid money out there because Kirby knows it's not about the coach. It's not all about the coach. It's not all about the scheme. It's not all about the philosophy. I don't know how many times I've got to say it, and I don't know, you know, the lowest IQ level out there. It's about having players that can get open. And Kirby said, watch the film. They ran the same plays as LSU, and their guys couldn't get open. So, you know, I don't think it's a, oh, my gosh, you got to find somebody that knows how to call plays or run it off. It's not that at all. It's, do we want to add somebody to our offensive room that can enhance the chemistry, develop players that Kirby's comfortable working with? And so, unlike you, I think the conversation, hey, how's everything going? What are you going to do? Kirby said he talked to him LSU week. he gets a vibe whether Bobo has interest or whether he has interest or where his friend is at. That doesn't mean he extended a job offer. It's a guy that he's friends with. I mean, think about it. If there's an opening on – in fact, I remember DBA talking with you before I came to Dog Nation. Well, you and I are talking. Tell me about this job, DBA. Sure. You know what, Jeff, and you guys are filling me in on it, right? And so it's a lot of people making much ado about nothing. I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, Mike, we appreciate you being here on Dog Nation Daily here today. Hope you enjoy the rest of your week. We'll certainly look forward to reading a bunch from you about the goings-on there in Athens as the Dogs get ready to make their way to New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. We appreciate your time. We'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
I appreciate it, man. Have a good day.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So two things that Mike said there that I think he and I are probably on slightly different sides on. I want to make sure I address this before we go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. You know, he mentions, you know, the changeover with new offensive tackles, both for the Sugar Bowl and for next season. And Mike seemingly seems to think that Georgia's just going to skate right through this with no problem whatsoever. I'm not going to, like, fan the flames of panic and tell you it's going to be a huge issue, but I'm also not going to, like, shrug my shoulders and say replacing a guy who's been as valuable as Thomas and replacing a guy who proved to be as valuable as Isaiah Wilson became, that's going to be a very easy thing for Georgia to do for one game against Baylor for the entirety of the 2020 season. Georgia has certainly recruited a lot of offensive linemen, but the fact of the matter is we haven't seen very many of those guys play yet, with the exception of the seven guys who kind of play the most frequently, Salyer and Mays being your two top backups there. So Georgia's got some questions to answer with its offensive line. Now, luckily, it's got a lot of potential talent to kind of throw out there, but I sort of gather that some of these guys are a little more ready to play than others are. We're about to find out kind of who's who, separating from the wheat from the tares, as they like to say. That may be about what's going to go down with the Georgia offensive line here. The other thing is, you know, Mike's a lot more comfortable than I am saying that the sole issue with Georgia's offense this year was receivers couldn't get open. I've made this very clear over and over again. While I do agree that Georgia needed to upgrade its receiver room, and in the 2020 class has done that, the one thing you're not going to hear me do is scapegoat one entity over the other when it comes to the offensive ineptitude that Georgia occasionally showed this year. In fact, if anything, I'm always more comfortable blaming the coaches because they're the ones making millions of dollars. So one way or another, Georgia's got something to figure out with its coaching ranks in terms of how it gets better offensively. Kirby's, for the most part, kind of acknowledged that. And maybe it's hiring a new guy with new ideas, or maybe it's finding a way to get better ideas out of the guys who are currently here. But one way or another, this to me can't be explained away by, well, receivers just have to get open. There are plenty of programs with lesser receivers than Georgia who were scoring plenty of points this year. Their coaches seem to be able to figure something out. I think the responsibility is on the Georgia coaches, whether it's Coley and this staff again, whether it's Coley with someone else added into the mix with him. One way or another, the responsibility rests with the Georgia coaches to get the offense better. And I think that's going to be a big part of the offensive story. Let's go cruise around the SEC now, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And, you know, for 50 years now, Royal Caribbean's been redefining cruise vacations with the boldest vacations possible. That also means bold entertainment as well. And, boy, when you sail on a lot of these Royal Caribbean ships, you kind of see this firsthand for yourself, kind of all the stuff that's out there. It's the only cruise line offering awe-inspiring Tony Award-winning Broadway musicals, ice skating shows, the really cool aqua theater shows, which are like these high dive shows way up in the air where you're like jumping from, I mean, talking about, you know, just way up in the air on a moving ship. It's really kind of an amazing thing to see. Some of those Broadway musicals right now include Hairspray, Grease, Mamma Mia, Cats. This is like amazing first-run Broadway type stuff. You see that right there on a Royal Caribbean ship, and of course it's the Oasis class ships that have the Aqua Theater. It's just an amazing, amazing, amazing entertainment experience. It's Travel Weekly Reader's Choice Award for the top entertainment at sea. So if you want to get an idea of just how great it all is, Travel Weekly Reader Magazine says about that, top entertainment there at sea. And by the way, if it's time for you to book your cruise vacation, I think it is, you can contact your own travel professional on this or reach out to the Cruise and Vacation Authority. Number to dial here, 800 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. That'll get you in touch with the Cruise and Vacation Authority, and you can be on your way for your very own vacation. Really fun stuff there. All right, a couple of cruise around the SEC stories from Royal Caribbean I want to get to here. Let me start with Jordan Birch. Dog Nation reported, Jeff Sintel in the Dog Nation forum last night, that Birch, who did not sign his letter of intent with South Carolina yesterday, is now not expected to sign that until February. He and Alex Huntley and, you know, those guys there at the Hammond School, I guess it's a tradition where they're going to hold out until February to do these letters of intent because they're at the school. They want everybody to sign them at the same time. And that may be indeed what goes down. But here's what I believe I know. One way or another, that does not sound like a scenario that South Carolina is going to be comfortable with. And I'm not going to be a hypocrite on this. I've said the same thing about Broderick Jones. I believe that Jones is likely to end up at Georgia. I believe that he'll eventually sign at Georgia. But if Georgia has to wait until February to get that letter of intent from Jones, the five-star offensive lineman, there are going to be a couple of harrowing moments if you're a UGA coach, knowing that anybody else can be out there making that pitch to him and say, are you sure Georgia's the place you want to go? And if that's true for Jones at Georgia, it's also true for a guy like Birch there at South Carolina, and I guess to a lesser extent probably Huntley as well, although that's not a name that Georgia's really been all that involved with. You know, this thing of, yeah, he's a South Carolina guy, but he's going to hold off his letter of intent till February, something tells me that's not the scenario that the Gamecocks would prefer, nor really any program when it comes to a player they think they have in the fold. Until that letter of intent is signed, all is sort of fair and love and war, and so we'll probably follow the Birch story a little bit. Ultimately, it probably ends the way these things are sort of slated to, with Birch landing at the school that he pledged to on Wednesday. But until the letter of intent is in, I guess there is some room for something different to happen than that. And you better believe South Carolina coach Will Muschamp is very much aware of that. I thought it was funny that Donnell Harris, a defensive end from Miami, who chose Texas A&M yesterday, in doing so, and some of the local reporters on hand kind of captured this. So when Harris stands up, he rips off his jacket, he reveals the Florida sweatshirt, and I hate to be this way, but Florida fans in the comment section of the video are all happy and thrilled. Then Harris pulls off the Florida sweatshirt to reveal the Texas A&M shirt, puts on the Aggies hat to go along with that. Little trolling of Florida. We love signing day for this kind of stuff. We don't think this is the kind of thing you need to be all that serious about. It just kind of fun and kind of a pro wrestling sense. And so Harris trolling Florida yesterday was plenty good for me. In fact, I enjoyed that all the way around. So pretty funny stuff there. Not so funny though if you're an Oklahoma fan. Jace McClellan, a running back they'd had committed for a long time, ends up flipping to Alabama there on signing day. An example of Alabama trying to do some really big work there late to bring in a guy like McClellan. And this is one of those things where when you see these sort of head-to-head battles between conferences sometime, the SEC just has a way of playing very aggressive to the final whistle when it comes to a lot of this recruiting stuff. An example of that with Alabama yesterday, getting themselves a pretty big win all the way around. However, an example of an SEC loss yesterday was the fact that LSU thought it had Rakim Jarrett all sewed up. Five-star receiver. Jarrett had started flirting around with some various schools on Twitter the last couple of days. At one point in time, insinuating he was not going to sign anywhere in the early signing period. But yesterday, surprisingly flipped from LSU to Maryland to be with Mike Loxley's program, end up signing his letter of intent there to the Terrapins. So kind of a weird bad loss for LSU, and it's obviously strange. I'm not the only one to say this. Other people have brought this up too. But the fact that, you know, LSU has had this monstrous offensive success, you'd think it'd be the place that every receiver wants to go to. Obviously, Rick Gilbert couldn't sign up for it fast enough, the five-star tight end from Georgia. But yesterday, LSU lost two receivers. It lost Jermaine Burton to Georgia, lost Rakim Jarrett to Maryland. So a little bit of a weird recruiting hiccup for the Tigers on a day when, for the most part, they were very, very good in every other regard this year anyway. But yesterday, a couple of recruiting hiccups there. We'll make that cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And let me take care of one piece of business here before I get back to the business of college football. I do want to let you know that we're going to finish up this week here on Dog Nation Daily, but next week, in honor of the Christmas week, we are going to take some vacation time next week. So there will be no Dog Nation Daily next week. We'll have a show, obviously, today here on this Thursday, tomorrow on Friday, and then after that, the next Dog Nation Daily we'll do will be the week of the Sugar Bowl in Atlanta on Monday, from New Orleans on Tuesday, and then the rest of the week there there in the Big Easy. So next week for us on vacation, we'll go ahead and make you aware of that. We, of course, appreciate you being with us each and every day here for Dog Nation Daily. We never take the decision lightly to be away from you. We try to deliver a show as much as we possibly can. But next week, we are kind of keeping in mind the Christmas holiday. I'm looking forward to spending some time with my family, to be frank, and enjoying my wife and kids and just the Christmas time of year. I love it. So after this week, we will be taking a week's worth of vacation and look forward to speaking to you the following week, heading towards the Sugar Bowl there in New Orleans. So quick update on that. By the way, with that in mind, the idea that we won't be here next week, that means it's not too early to start talking about some bowl games and kind of thinking about how some of these SEC teams are going to do, how some of these playoff games are going to go down. So I thought it might be fun to kind of finish up this way today, kind of looking at this from kind of a point spread perspective as part of our MyBookie Best Bets. We will have a go with the flow presented by R.S. Andrews this week. We'll make some official picks on these bowl games. But let me give you a couple of these games to go ahead and start thinking about kind of some fun stuff here. Cotton Bowl between Memphis and Penn State. The Nittany Lions, a 6.5-point favorite there. The two playoff games, Oklahoma and LSU. Tigers still a 14-point favorite over the Sooners, but the status of Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be obviously a big storyline there in that game. Oklahoma obviously dealing with some suspensions there as well. Ohio State's been dominant all year long, but in the Fiesta Bowl, they are a couple-point underdog to the Clemson Tigers. That's worth paying attention to. And then games of note for SEC fans, Mississippi State against Louisville in the Music City Bowl. Bulldogs, 4.5-point favorite. The Orange Bowl features Florida back in a New Year's Six Bowl again against Virginia. The Cavaliers, the team that the Dogs will play to open the 2020 season. The Wahoos, 14.5-point underdogs to the Gators. The swan song for the Belk Bowl. This is Belk's final year of being the sponsor for this game. Virginia Tech takes on Kentucky. Wildcats, 2.5-point underdogs. Alabama outside the both playoff and New Year's Six footprint in the Citrus Bowl against Michigan. Crimson Tide still a 7-point favorite there. The Outback Bowl sees an interesting matchup, also Big Ten versus SEC, Minnesota against Auburn. Auburn a 7.5-point favorite over the Gophers there. And then the Rose Bowl. It's Oregon and Wisconsin, a traditional Pac-12 Big Ten matchup in Pasadena. The Wisconsin Badgers are a 3-point favorite there. So go ahead and make your plans for these bowl games, make your picks on the game, and then join us on Friday for Go With The Flow presented by R.S. Andrews. We'll share you with our official picks there on those games as well. And of course, when you're thinking about making your official picks, one of the best things you can do is make a little money on your expertise. That's what MyBookie gives you a chance to do. So make sure you find them online. Just type MyBookie into your browser, and the internet will do the work for you. You'll get there to MyBookie, and then when you use the promo code DOGNATION, you can get a big first deposit bonus, up to $1,000, I think. You can get your first deposit doubled. That's what MyBookie provides you, but you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION, all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, D-A-W-G. And then after that, you play, you win, you get paid. You're at home during the holidays. You kind of get a little stir-crazy, a little bored after a while. Well, bowl season is the cure for that, I promise you, especially when you got some action down on the games from our friends at MyBookie. So check them out, but use the promo code DOGNATION. So happy holidays to all of you. Now that the first day of the early signing period is kind of in the books, it gives you a chance to kind of focus in on some of that kind of stuff. If you're like me, there's still a bunch of shopping to do and loose ends to tie up heading towards the Christmas season. So we'll do the rest of this week with Dog Nation Daily, take the week off after that, and I hope all of you get a chance to really enjoy yourself here this time of year. And I hope you're, like me, excited about whichever version of Georgia shows up in New Orleans, whichever players are playing. I'm still kind of excited about the game. The Sugar Bowl is one of those things I grew up feeling like was a very big deal in one way or another. I'm excited about seeing the Dogs there in that spot. I will say I'm also excited about this. I'm excited about the way the 2020 class for Georgia is coming together. As I said off the top of the program, the two big receivers yesterday, Smith and Burton, that's fireworks for me. That's feeling pretty good right there, and there's a few more names still to be added. That's really fun, too. Here's what else is fun. 1,146 days. That's how long it's been since the lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. Merry Christmas to everyone but Florida. We'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.